Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
China, the People's Republic of China. I welcome Colonel Grant Newsham, United States Marine Corps retired. His book, new book, When China Attacks, A Warning to America, lays out reporting over the last 40 years. It leads us to challenge right now about what is to be done. China is understood generally as an adversary. Once upon a time, China was an ally. What happened? How did we get here? Grant, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. When China Attacks, your book suggests the attack is underway and there have already been victims in America. I go immediately to the city of Baltimore, dear to you, and you recount how it is that China attacked Baltimore and overwhelmed it and won, so much so that the latest report out of Baltimore is that it is now the highest crime rate in the country for murder and robbery, surpassing Memphis and even surpassing Detroit. How did China attack Baltimore, and what has happened to Baltimore since? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Glad to be here. With Baltimore, as I say, I use this as a sort of an example of what's happened. And how did China attack? Well, they did it without firing a shot. The assault was largely economic, for starters. And you basically took away the economic underpinnings of the city, and then you set it up and you set the whole society up for destruction. Once you've done that, particularly by, say, moving and shutting down the big steel mills, then you leave a society that was once a vibrant sort of working class place with no options, and you set it up for drugs and the sort of the pumping of fentanyl, just for one, into Baltimore and other big American cities, other not just big cities, little ones too, over the last decade, has murdered Americans by the hundreds of thousands. I think a few years ago, the figure was about 1,000 killed in Baltimore by fentanyl in 1 year. And that was just a few years ago. It's not gotten any better. So that's like 3 a day. And you find the fire department spend most of their time responding to drug overdoses. But you've managed to effectively destroy a society by destroying an economy and getting, there's more to it, getting prominent Americans on Capitol Hill in the business class, the financial classes, who won't do anything about it because they are economically, financially, reputationally beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. So from a Chinese perspective, this is very much a form of warfare. We don't recognize it as such because no Chinese bullets are flying, but the effects have nonetheless been just as destructive as a shooting war.
The image that I like from your presentation is that once upon a time, Baltimore was a manufacturing hub for the United States of America since the beginning of the Republic. And it's gone from manufacturing products and selling to America and the world to distribution centers of products that are brought in from China. The factory floor was stolen from the people in Baltimore because of the pursuit of a lower price. The Chinese subsidize industries that undercut the manufacturing hub of Baltimore. You mentioned steel. I'm just thinking about ordinary kitchen products. All of that was out of Baltimore, flowing to the East Coast no more. and the alienation and the crime followed. We could see that now, all these years later. At the time, though, there was, in the United States in the late 20th century, after the collapse of the Soviet Empire, there was a belief that China was a struggling land of third world people who needed the U.S. help. We remember Tiananmen, June of 1989. That was darkness visible. That was the dragon showing his teeth. What happened after Tiananmen that we all of a sudden welcomed China into the WTO, despite the fact they met none of the criteria, and that China became the attack on Baltimore? What happened in there?
Well, almost collective insanity by America's ruling class, starting with George Bush, the president, George H.W. Bush. You'll notice immediately after Tiananmen Square, he sent Brent Scowcroft and Lawrence Eagleburger, two of his prominent foreign policy guys, to Beijing with a letter. The letter's available on the internet. It is as fawning a thing as you will find. He's almost saying, I can't believe you've done this. We've got to work through this and we'll be your friends. So what you had after that was American industry going into China in a big way. And the idea was, if we help China build its economy up, it will liberalize, sort of become like a giant Canada, apparently. One of the companies I worked for, Motorola, was in fact the anchor tenant almost for that American push into China right after Tiananmen Square. And all they were ultimately doing was just committing suicide, albeit in a slow way. But this very much was conscious U.S. government policy. And I say elite class policy is probably the better way to put it. The regular Americans were no doubt skeptical of this. And there were people on Capitol Hill who understood the risks involved, but a lot of them just didn't say anything because the donor class prevailed. And then others just weren't listened to. But as you noted, John, it just culminated in early 2000s, 2001, when China was allowed into the World Trade Organization by the United States, ultimately, and despite not meeting any of the requirements for this. This was a bet that China would liberalize if it developed economically. It proved in fairly short order that this was a failing bet, yet we kept doubling down for many, many years afterwards. And this is what supercharged China's economic growth and its military growth as well. Without the economic growth, you wouldn't have a People's Liberation Army that in today, in certain circumstances, could defeat the United States military.
The transformation then took place at the end of the 20th century, end of the 21st. I can recall reporting about the same time as the 9/11 that China was reluctant to get involved in international affairs, reluctant to participate in, say, even peacekeeping forces sponsored by the UN, held back, even held back at the UN as maybe Russia's wingman and maybe not, never voicing loudly what it wanted. Was that a false face, or was that how China perceived itself at the time, beginning of the 21st century?
Ultimately, it was a charade, a false face, as you say. The Chinese objectives have always been very clear. They've just not been able to act on them until fairly recent times. But the idea of regional domination, paying back their enemies for supposed past wrongs, and ultimately domination, or the domination of the communist system worldwide, and probably into outer space as well, if you listen to them, that has always been the objective. But as was said, I think, by Deng Xiaoping, the Chinese leader, you know, bide your time, hide your capabilities, and don't show your teeth. And that's how they did it. And it worked very well. They presented this facade of a country that just wanted to make money, wanted to get rich, wasn't interested in foreign affairs, getting involved in that nasty business, had no military objectives beyond just maintaining control in the PRC. I remember actually asking a very prominent guy at the National Security Council, and this would have been the early 90s. I said, what happens when China, gets a a navy that can operate worldwide. And he assured me that China had no interest in a blue water navy. Just wouldn't happen. And that was just one example. This belief continued up until very recent times, despite manifest evidence to the contrary. So the Chinese very successfully played to what the West wanted to see and what the Americans wanted to see. And sometimes you have to step back in awe at what they accomplished. It may have looked just transparently sort of fraudulent to some of us from the beginning, but you know, it worked. And now we're now we're finally waking up. It is, of course, almost 30 years after we should have, but no, that's often the case.
When China attacks, a warning to America. Colonel Grant Newsham, United States Marine Corps retired, is the author. When we come back, we're going to come forward to Xi Jinping, a man who is now the strong man of the People's Republic, and his vision of China attacks. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.